This is NBA Sound System. I'm Lawrence Scott, and as we travel around the association for interviews, features, and sounds of the game, we turn the conversation to the city of Seattle here in the preseason. Warriors forward Kevin Durant played on the Sonics his rookie season before the franchise relocated to Oklahoma City in 2008. And in returning for a preseason game with the Warriors against the Kings, he shares his thoughts with us about an evening where the NBA will be back in the Emerald City.
What's special is just the natural love and enthusiasm for the game that just floated around Seattle. Just the culture of Seattle basketball dating back to the 70s, you know, coming from a team that wasn't so successful and then a year later, you know, went to the finals and just had so much success early on, ended up winning the championship and, you know, just going through so many phases of Sonics basketball and to be on the last team there, you know, hopefully not the last team in history. Hopefully we get another team in Seattle, but so many people, you know, miss the Sonics, miss, you know, just having basketball in Seattle. And, you know, obviously being a rookie of the year as a Sonic, a lot of people miss my whole career. So I know that's something that they always think about, and, you know, I think about it as well. So I know a game won't just do it justice, but, you know, just to have a moment of a basketball in Seattle. So I'm definitely excited to get back and feel that energy, feel that love for the game. And I know it's going to be, the city is going to be roaring just the night before the game. So I'm excited about it.
Friday night in Seattle, Warriors-Kings in a preseason matchup that will also feature a man on the bench, sometimes referred to as the most interesting man in the NBA. And now, an NBA Sound System flashback brought to you by the letter Q. This episode's spotlight feature a visit with Warriors assistant coach Bruce Frazier, a man they call Q. His career spans the worlds of basketball, music, and entertainment. Last season, we honored this Renaissance man of the association with a special tribute video, poorly narrated, but you'll get the idea. It takes him half an hour to watch a 48-minute game. The league's reigning MVP is actually helping him warm up. He's made illegal defense legal in 48 states and Puerto Rico. Opposing coaches call timeout to slow him down. When he gets a technical, the league pays him. He is the most interesting man in the NBA. Recently in Memphis, we sat down over coffee to talk about his friendship with one of Memphis's favorite sons, Justin Timberlake. And it's mostly a story that ties together basketball, music, entertainment, and something of an under-the-radar league that the NBA brought to Hollywood. You know, every time we're in Memphis, I always think about Justin Timberlake. They love him so much, it wouldn't surprise me if one day they named Beale Street after Jessica. But you've got Justin as such a focal presence in the world of music and pop culture these days, and he's very much a Memphis guy. You see him at Grizzlies games, and for years, Q, you have known him and worked with him in a variety of capacities. How did that all start?
It actually started in a NBA Entertainment Basketball League where we ultimately played on the same team, and then I worked with him in the music business for a little bit, which is a whole other story, but it really started in the Entertainment League.
This Entertainment League, when did it exist? How did it come about? What was your initial involvement?
Well, it was kind of by chance, but I got a call one day from a good friend from college, and he worked for the NBA, and he worked specifically in the entertainment division where he, you know, it was where the, you know, they would use arenas for filming and various things. So he was involved in anything entertainment for the NBA. And I think actually Rick Welts may have been a part of that at that time too, or helped initiate that. But anyway, his sort of pet project at the time was to start a basketball league in the entertainment world in LA. And so he called me and said, "Hey, you played and you'd be great for this league, and you could maybe coach a little bit. Would you be interested?" And I was thinking, I asked him what it was. He said a bunch of actors and singers and writers, directors, agents. Thought it was cool, but I didn't really want to, you know, be a part. Not that I was above it, but figured my basketball intellect was above that. But whatever. So over time, we talked a little bit about it, and he convinced me to meet with a couple guys on one team that he was putting together and said, this team would be great for you. And I was kind of like, whatever. He said, will you meet with a couple of the guys? And I said, sure. So I went and met with Tobey Maguire and this director, Nick Cassavetes, at the Sony studio lot. And I didn't know what to expect, but I get to the lot, and they're kind of doting on me. I said I was there to see Tobey Maguire. I didn't really know who Tobey was, which is naive of me, but he had just been in Cider House Rule, so this was a while back. And so I show up to the lot. They take me to Toby's trailer, and he's not there, but he comes running in like 5 minutes later in his Spider-Man outfit. So I realized then that he was Spider-Man, and I was there to actually see Spider-Man. So he's taking his costume, he's taking it off, and he's super cool. He's like, hey, thanks for coming, we want to talk to you about this thing. So ultimately, we had lunch. Nick showed up. Nick was great. Nick played basketball in college, I think, at Syracuse. And the Cassavetes are a big entertainment family. Nick was a great guy. So they convinced me to coach and play. And so my first team in the entertainment league, and this is, seems like a lot about me, this whole thing, but my first team was comprised of Leonardo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, those guys are good friends, Nick Cassavetes, Kevin Conley, an agent named Rick Yorn, and then a bunch of other guys too. So there's probably 10 of us.
Rick Yorn is Pete Yorn's brother, and Pete Yorn, we know from the music world, just a fantastic artist, and it all kind of does tie together with music and entertainment in the obvious ways, but then it sort of filtered through in this whole other way for you, and with great coaching prowess comes great responsibility. They wanted to learn the triangle.
Well, they asked if we could run the triangle, and I said, well, we could, but to learn that and to actually execute it in a short period of time with really non-basketball players, guys that love to play, would be challenging. So we ended up practicing once a week as much as we could, and then Leo ultimately built a court at his house, and we would practice up there. I'd say we were average team. Leo got hurt, and the publicity grew around our team in that league, so some of the guys bowed out for that reason. But the league was really successful for probably 10 years, and I still have a lot of great friendships from that league. And as the league goes, you kind of, guys come and go in the league for various reasons, and I jumped from one team to another because my team ultimately kind of dissolved, and I was ready to call it quits, or just, you know, it was fun. And my buddy asked me if I'd play on another team, so I ended up going from sort of a acting movie team to a music team, which was where Justin and I became pretty close, and it was Justin Timberlake, Ice Cube, and Snoop, and there were some other guys too, Frankie Muniz and a couple other throw-ins, but it was more of a musical. Harvey Mason, who I played in college with, was on the team too, so we were pretty good.
Frankie, you'd see him at those celebrity games, and it kind of brings to mind at NBA All-Star Weekend, they have the whole celebrity game that's now televised. These games would have been huge ratings if they were televised. What were the games like?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, part of the reason they were having at the NBA was to form relationships with those guys and not to exploit them. So it wasn't publicized, you know, for a reason. So most of the public didn't know about it. But the games were pretty cool because you could put people's names on a little pass list, and it was held at Crossroads High School or school at the time. In Santa Monica, the people in the stands were mostly family and friends, and it was kind of like they were on Sundays, and it was just cool. Music would play, and it was a cool environment and very intimate and authentic. So it wasn't exposed, or when guys came in, they didn't feel like, you know, because most they were there for the fun of it, not to show off their basketball skills or non-skills.
That's all for this time. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Thanks for being part of NBA Sound System.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.